On today's episode of the Yaesu, the radio show podcast, we're going to talk about WiresX registration and what you actually do and do not need to register. A lot of people may have some confusion on there. That's for today's episode, Monday, December 4th, on the Yaesu, the radio show. And welcome, everybody, to the Yaesu, the radio show podcast. I'm your host, John Crook. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our podcast today, as well as our new simulcast format, where the show is actually recorded here. And if you're watching on YouTube, you're actually seeing me while we're actually doing the recording for the audio of the podcast. So we had a lot of great responses on there. We did put a survey out there. First of all, we didn't realize that there were, I'd say, a fair amount of people, not an extremely high amount, but a fair amount of people that didn't know that we had a podcast for Yaesu, as well as then they weren't really aware that now with the podcast, for those that did listen, that we were now starting this kind of format here. So we had a lot of great responses. We're going to go ahead and continue on there. There are going to be some times where on the podcast we are not going to have an actual video with it also too. So, hey, things happen time to time. It gets a busy world and stuff like that, but we'll still do the podcast from there. But we're going to talk about a topic that I think creates a lot of confusion among people. And there's a lot of people that have actually a differencing of opinion. And when we have that differencing of opinion, that is where it really kind of causes problems. And they apply some other things, which is going ahead and being registering for WiresX, but then also to, in addition, going ahead and finding out what you need to register, why you should register, those kind of things like that on there. But prior to starting up that, as you know, today is Monday, December 4th, 2023. The holiday season is right around the corner. And let me tell you something here. If you're looking for gifts, if you're looking for last-minute things, guess what? Head on down to your local authorized Yaesu dealer. And I'm saying local and authorized because there's a lot of Yaesu dealers across the entire United States. Now, there are parts of the United States that don't have local Yaesu dealers, but the reason I'm saying is to support your local Yaesu dealer. You would be surprised at how many are out there. If you really want to find out where it's at, go on to the Contact Us page at Yaesu.com. That's right, Contact Us page at Yaesu.com. You can ask us, hey, where's the dealer? Or better yet, go to the Find the Dealer page at Yaesu.com, right? Find the Dealer at Yaesu.com. It's going to be great there. You can type in some information on there, and they can go ahead and get some things done there for you. Now, the reason I say this is because we have some holiday specials going on, and it's not just, wasn't a Black Friday special, wasn't a, hey, through Christmas. No, we're extending this all the way through till the end of January. That's right. We're giving discounts not only on our VHF UHF line, but also to our HF lines. If you're looking for the high quality, high class, top, number one Sherwood Report List FTDX 101 series, we have specials going on for that one. If you're looking, hey, you know what, the 101's a little bit too much of a radio for me, go ahead and take a look at the FTDX 10. It's kind of a smaller little brother sister kind of thing on there. And if you want a small compact radio, high quality HF performance you could take anywhere, check out one of the two, yes, that's right, two different versions of the FT710 series, which is the AESS, which comes with that additional speaker for that high-quality AESS performance. Or, hey, I don't want the speaker. I want to take it mobile. I want to take it traveling. Then go ahead and take a look at the FT710 field unit on there. That's in addition to specials on the FTM500 as well as the FT5. That's right. Go ahead and contact your local or nearest authorized, can't stress authorized enough, Yaesu dealer for those specials that you are looking for there. Alrighty, so what we're going to talk about today on today's episode is dealing with WiresX registration. When I say dealing with WiresX registration, I kind of say, because people have problems with the WiresX registration. And we've talked about it before in podcasts, not too long ago, as a matter of fact. If you go on our podcast service here, we currently are using Podbean on there. It has one of the episodes where we kind of touch on WiresX and registration, stuff like that on there. But one of the biggest things that you need to understand is that when we're talking about WiresX registration, there is a process that needs to be done. And I know we hear a lot about it from people saying, hey, John, why do you have this process? It should just be instantaneous process on there. And actually, it's not, and it can't be. And there's a reason why it's not that way. So in essence, what is WiresX registration? Why is WiresX registration needed? Well, WiresX registration is needed in order to be able to register a Yaesu device. Okay, now I want to stress Yaesu device because I hear people all the time going saying, well, John, how do I register my I'm using a hotspot. Okay, how do I register all that for WiresX? You can't. You cannot. The only devices you can register for WiresX are actual Yaesu devices. Now, in that realm of Yaesu devices, you have the HRI 200. You have the FTM series of digital mobiles. And when I say FTM series of digital mobiles, there is the FTM 6000. That does not need registering because that's different, okay? But the FTM series, so the 100, the 200, the 300, the 400, and the 500, those can all be registered for PDN operation. Or you can register the FT2, the FT3, or the FT5 for PDN operation. Those are the only ones outside of the HRI 200 that actually can be registered to be used on the WiresX network. Now, the reason we stress that is because the WiresX network, yes, a lot of people say, oh, it's proprietary technology. No, that's another thing we clear up. WiresX, yes, we have it as a closed proprietary network. There's reasons for that, though, folks. We've said it numerous times. We always say it again. The reason is because we want to keep WiresX a WiresX as an amateur network. We don't want it to be turned into business. We don't want it to be turned into GMRS. We don't want any of that kind of stuff like that. WiresX is designed for amateur usage. So that's why there's a couple steps process on there. That's why only certain radios can be done on there, you know, so different devices that are connected. That is the scheme of things, okay? I know, like I said, some people do not like that, but that's just the way it is, folks. Now, getting back to the devices, what do we need to register? What do we do? Well, before we dive into actually talking about registering the devices, I think what we need to do is we need to actually talk about the understanding of saying, how do I do the registration process? And that's the big one. That, I think, is the big one where many people get confused. There is two steps to the WiresX registration process. There's account creation, which is meaning just saying, hey, I'm creating an account. I'm going to register a device with that account, but I need to create an account. I need to become someone on the WiresX network. And then the second part is actually registering that device to that account. And notice I said device. Keep that in the back of your head. Keep that in the back of your mind. Okay. What you have to do is, first of all, you have to go to the WiresX website. Okay. Not the Yaesu.com website. A lot of people say, I can't find, how do I register WiresX? They send an email in, hey, I want to, here's one of my devices, want to, no. You need to go to the WiresX website. And it's a little bit of a long thing. It's in the manual. I know here folks got to read the manual on this one, right? But what you want to do is you want to go to the WiresX website. Once again, you can Google search it if you want to. Otherwise, go into the manual and of the manual of the HRI 200, the WiresX manuals for those other radios I talked about on there. Guess what? You will find that web address that you need to do. Now, the first and foremost thing you need to do is you need to register an account. Okay. And this is, once again, not the device yet. This is just the account. Now, with that account, you're going to basically saying, hi, I'm this person. So in this case, hi, I'm N9UPC. I want to register myself with Yaesu WiresX so that I can take and register a device. Now, that's going to be right off the front page here. You're going to see where it looks like you could log in with a username and a password. Right below it, you'll see the little link on there you click. That's going to allow you to register for an account on WiresX. They're going to go ahead, you're going to enter some of that information in there. You're going to enter, like, you're going to come up with a username, a password, an email. You're going to need, that's pretty much about it, I guess, for registration on there. But it is important that you do that for every WiresX device you're going to register. Once again, we'll cover that in a moment, so just hang tight, okay? But you need to do that in order to then have the proper, and I say that proper link, to be sent to you for registering a device with WiresX. Now, the reason I say is proper is because we had a rash going on for a long time of someone going ahead and someone posted a registration link for a device. Not a registration for an account, but a registration for a device. And it was like pre-filled forms. And everybody's like, oh, this is, your wireless access network's broken, da-da-da-da-da. No. What it was is someone published that link not knowing that it was pre-populated with their stuff. Because when you register for an account, once again, you get that email, and it has the link for you registering the device. When you click on register the device, then it's going to come up and it's going to be underneath, in essence, you. It's going to have some of that information already pre-populated in there. And that is when you're going to finish entering that information, which we're going to cover in the kind of the latter part of the show here. Okay, the last part on there. But that's what you need to do. Okay, that's what you need to do. So you need to first create that account. And account creation is almost simultaneous. You put it in there, a few minutes later, it's going to come back to you, and you're going to create another. Now, here's where it kind of gets a little tricky for some people. You can only have, and I want to stress this over and over and over again, you can only have one device registered per registration account. Let me say it again. Let me repeat it. And I know it sounds like people are being, why are you being so dramatic, John? Because this is an issue with some people. You could only have one device. So one device with a DTMF ID registered per Yaesu WiresX account. So I can't register, saying, N9UPC, let's say. Okay, I can't register my account and then have five different devices underneath that account. One registration, one account. And there's a reason why. I'll get to that in a second, okay? So if you need to register multiple devices, yes, you're going to have to register multiple accounts. You are. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And it's done for a specific purpose. And I know our podcast is listened to the majority in the United States. The reason doesn't really ingrain into a lot of U.S. ham usage or North America ham usage, but you got to remember, WiresX is a global network. Okay, it's not a just North America, South America, Japan, UK kind of thing. No, it's a global network. So we have to adjust in a network operation that allows people worldwide to go ahead and do it. All righty. Now, why does that need to happen? Well, when you're registering the device now. Not the account. We already have the account set up. We're clicking on the link now. We're entering that device information. Once you enter that device information, which we'll cover in a moment, then you're going to have that option on there. And that option on there states, is this for you? Is this for a club? Is this, what is this for? Is it public? Is it private? Those kind of things like that. So to have that ability to have that granular aspect of operation, we have to have it set up that it's a situation of saying, okay, wait a minute here. We need one device registered per WiresX account. Alrighty. Now, let's talk about registration of the devices. So if you are using an HRI 200, you will be using the serial number from the HRI 200. Now, the reason being is the HRI 200 kind of, I guess we could say, sake of a better term, sort of acts like that modem, that switch, that node, okay, that allows you to go ahead and be able to interface things with it. Remember, the HRI 200 can do digital or it can do analog dependent upon the radio that you have connected to it. And it's only going to be a mobile radio too, folks, right? You can't hook up a handheld to it or say anything like that on there. So you're going to have to go ahead and have it. But that HRI 200 is the main gateway. So whatever radio you have plugged into it, that becomes the donor radio, as we kind of call it, okay? The donor radio means, hey, I have this radio receiving a signal, whether it be analog, digital, whatever the case may be. I am not using that radio as an interface. I'm not using the microphone or anything. It's going to be receiving stuff over the air, and when it receives the stuff over the air, puts it into the HRI 200, which then sends it down through the WiresX network, okay? So you have to have that donor radio in there. That HRI 200 is that focal point, that per se the pinch point, if you want to say on there. So that's why you need to register the HRI 200. Now let's go over to the other type of device that you can register, which is a device that can operate in what they call PDN, personal digital node. Personal digital node is just that. It's a personal digital node. It's digital only, meaning there's no analog RF on it, okay? But what it is it's directly connected from your radio to your computer, okay? Meaning there's a cable only going from your radio to your computer. There's no HRI 200 involved. There's no other devices involved. Just cables out of that radio into the computer, and boom, you're good to go. Now, the reason I say that is because you don't register the serial number of the radio. Serials for HRI 200, the DPID, digital personal ID, of the radio is what needs to be registered. Now, each Yaesu radio has a unique 5-digit character, we'll call it, ID to the radio. That means that when your radio transmits, okay, not only in digital is that data of the call sign and everything going out, but embedded in that data stream is that unique 5-digit ID. Now, that unique 5-digit ID has a couple different things that it can be used on. Not to go off topic too quick, but that's what you need to register with the DR2X so it can go ahead and do control, okay? Or it's a better way if you need to filter or block or allow people in Wires X to access or not access your node. Instead of going by the call sign, which can change, call sign is dynamic, that DPID is static. And that's what we need to have registered on there. So we have a lot of times people will actually try to register a PDN node and they submit the serial number and then it takes a long time. Like, what's going on and stuff like that. Well, that's because it was entered in error, and then you got to go back and then change it, and that adds things. In addition, that DPID is unique. It's made up of uppercase and lowercase letters and letters and numbers. And it needs to be exactly how it is. So in other words, if it's a capital F and you enter a lowercase f, not going to work, okay? But that's what needs to be registered. So recap, HRI 200 is the serial number of the HRI 200. PDN is the DPID of the radios themselves. Now, HRI 200 kit is going to come with what you need. It's going to have the either 10-pin to 10-pin cable or the 10-pin to 6-pin cable. That's going to be based upon what you need to go ahead and use for radio, okay? Analog versus digital. And then with the PDN, you're going to have to buy the proper kits. Now, I'll cover that real quick because sometimes people have questions. So the kits that we sell now that are out there are compatible for Windows 11 and Windows 10. There were older kits out there. There was the older SU39, SU40. Those were Windows 10 compliant, okay? Windows 11, it kind of caused issues and stuff like that. It wasn't anything we could control over there. Unfortunately, it was Windows, and it was a chip manufacturer, a cable manufacturer. But we came out with the new cabling kits. Now, grab a pen and paper, put this part on pause if you want to go ahead and do that, because then I'm going to go over the numbers once more again, okay? So, if you want to use a handheld for PDN operation, you are going to need the SCU57 kit. Once again, PDN handheld, so the FT2, FT3, FT5, are going to be the SCU57 kit. That kit is made up of the analog audio cables and the SCU55 cable, which you need. Okay, so handhelds, PDN, SCU57. Mobiles with PDN capabilities, you're going to need the SCU58 kit. Once again, SCU58. That's going to be for the mobile operation of PDN. That's going to be the FTM 100, 200, 300, 400, and 500. SCU58 kit. That is comprised of the analog audio cables and the SCU56 cable. That's the USB cable on there. So those are the cables that you need in order to hook up the radios to PDN. With the HRI 200, it comes with a USB A to USB B cable. So the USB B, like some people call it the USB printer style cable, that goes into the HRI 200. Then the USB A goes into the actual computer itself. Now, before we move on to the next part, I guess this is a good point in time. People are like, John, where can I get these kits? Okay, do I have to buy them? Did they come with the radios and stuff like that? No, these kits do not come with the radios, but they do come as accessories that you could purchase through any of your Yaesu authorized dealers. That's right, through our Yaesu authorized dealers. If you go ahead and tell them, hey, I need to operate PDN functionality, I need the SCU57 kit, or I need the SCU58 kit, they're going to be able to help you get those cables that you need. Now, a lot of people say, well, John, why can't I use the old cables? I kind of covered that on there before. It was because of the Windows 10 thing. All of the SCU57 and 58 kits are 100% backwards compatible with older versions of Windows. So if you have a Windows 11, great. If you have Windows 10, great. If you have older versions, we do say that they do work with on it, but we only focus right now on Windows 10 and Windows 11 because those are the two most current versions of Windows operating system that are out there. The kit comes in a nice little package. That's right. Everything that you need in there, that USB cable to plug into the back of the radio or the side of the radio that goes right directly via USB-A into your computer, and then the audio cables that you may need to go ahead and use to connect from your radio into your mic and speaker jack on your computer are all included in there. If you're using the handhelds, we even include the CT44 to break it out from a single pin to a dual pin speaker mic jack, on the actual handheld itself. Go over to your favorite Yaesu dealer. That's right, your favorite Yaesu authorized dealer. They're going to be able to have that kit for you. I will tell you this, I tell people right away, even if you ever remotely think about wanting to do Wires X, or you're saying, you know, hey, I might want to do it someday, pick up the kit now. Better to have now than to go ahead and wait and not have it when you need it on there. So once again, the SCU57 for the Yaesu PDN handhelds and the SCU58 for your other needs on there. Alrighty, now let's talk about getting into that registration on there. So when we register the device, you have to select, I kind of talked about it, we have to select what it's used for. Now, the reason we have it set up device registration per account, so one-to-one, is because if you are registering a device for yourself, hey, not a problem. Cool, great, not an issue, right? But if you are registering the device for a club, let's say you're a trustee or an organization, all righty, you may be in charge of the Wires X node today, but maybe next year at elections, maybe you retire, maybe someone else wants to take it over. That is where we allow that transferring of the device registration to a different account. That's why there's the one-to-one. If we had one Wires X registration and Wires X devices all registered underneath there, you can see how it's going to be a problem of saying, hey, I want to pull one out of five and send it over to that other one. No. That's why we do it. In addition, if you change, if you, you know, say, hey, I used to have an HRI-200. I don't want to use it anymore. I want to go to an FTM-500 or 200 or 300 or whatever. Now you can go in there and you can change that device and still keep that node number. In addition to it, when you transfer a Wires X registered device, you have a couple of options. You can keep that same DTMF number you have, or you can send it along with that device. And that's why that registration process has to take the place and the steps that it does. So that's why it's a one-to-one. And I know, you know, hey, let me tell you something. If I could show you the bench here, okay, if I could show you the picture, you would see multiple Wires X devices. I have multiple Wires X devices cooking in my house here. I have multiple PDNs. I have two HRI 200s here. Why? Because I do. I do. Obviously, because of who I am and what I do, but also, too, is that I have some that are sponsored for my repeater connectivity system, okay? I have some that are designed for testing. I have some that are actually designed to just tool and roundabout and everything like that. I have some that are used for other purposes on there, so multiple devices. Yes, do I have to have, you know, it's like a 9UPC-1-2-3. Yeah, I do. Too bad, so sad, right? That's what we have to do. But now I know is that if I ever want to get rid of one of those devices, I want to be like, I'm done, goodbye, I don't want that node anymore, I don't care about that DTMF ID, I cancel that one device, that one Wires X registration, the other go ahead and play on without an issue whatsoever. Now, let's talk about Wires X deregistering, unregistration. I don't even know how you really want to call it and say that there. Deactivation, how about that? Deactivation of the Wires X node and account. that is done. On that aspect of case by case basis, if you really want to go ahead and say that on there. And what I mean by case by case basis is that it determines what you want to do. If you want to completely get rid of that node, okay, you have to unregister the device and you can shut down your WiresX account if you're never going to have a WiresX connect or WiresX device again on there. 9 times out of 10, people will just deactivate the device or unregister that device because they're going to swap registrations, okay? So here's what you need to do. You need to first determine what you're going to do. Are you going to say, hey, I'm merely switching device for device and I want to keep the same WiresX ID? Okay, if you want to do that, you're going to swap devices. That's what you're going to do. You're going to swap devices. Do not deactivate the node. Do not unregister the device or anything like that. You're going to swap devices. Alrighty. If you want to give away, if you want to transfer out that device to another person. So, for example, you are the club trustee of the WiresX device. And now, let's say I'm done with it. I'm changing positions in the club. Bill's going to come over here and do it now. Now what you could do is you could transfer it to Bill directly. Transfer it to his WiresX account. Now that leaves your WiresX account open, but that device is no longer going to be associated with. It's going to be associated to Bill's account. Once again, another reason why you have to register for an account and you register a device. Now, if you want to keep your DTMF number, okay, that node number you have. So let's say you have 12345 and 22345, argument's sake, folks, right? Let's say you want to keep those numbers, but you want to get rid of the device, okay? You don't want this device anymore. You are going to have a device registered to your account to keep that DTMF number. So in other words, if you're saying, you know what, I want to keep that node number, I got rid of my FTM 100. I don't use it anymore for PDN functionality, but I still want to keep the node number. You're going to have to swap another device in there. That's the only way to keep a node and room number active, is to have a device registered with it. If you don't have a device registered, that DTMF number is not going to go ahead and stay there, right? The minute you unregister a device, if you don't put something else in its place, it's going to say, okay, no device, no DTMF ID, goodbye, we're done, right? So that's the important thing. You need to figure out what you're going to do. That's going to dictate what you're going to do. Now, really simple, really easy. If you need to go ahead and deactivate a device, go into your node owner, node corner page of the WiresX website, log in with that account, and then you'll see the options there where you can unregister the device, you can cancel kind of the device, do all those kind of functionality things there. That is, once again, in the WiresX account on the WiresX website, okay? If you email yezu.com, we're really not going to be able to do anything about it. We're not. We're going to tell you need to go log into your account. You're going to have to go through those steps on there, okay? WiresX registrations are done in Japan, okay? They are. Not going to hide or anything like that on there. So when you're actually registering for an account, that sort of is instantaneous. But when you're registering the device, that's when we check who you are, those kind of things like that on there. And it is a manual process. We've had people that have tried to fool the system, to try to vent or hack the system. And like Mickey Mouse has tried to have an account, and Donald Duck, and you know, Ed Grimley. I mean, just, you know, different names that people have been trying to throw in there. No, if you don't have your name, your legal name, if you don't have your call sign, if you don't have your address, if you don't have certain numbers and all that data that correlate and correspond with one another, your registration isn't going to go ahead and go through. We've had people that have changed call signs and that their call signs updated in FCC database or vice versa. They enter in the wrong data and then we're like, no, that's not the name versus the there. So we can't go ahead and have you do it, right? We will deny the registration. So that is the important part of doing the registration on there. Now, the final part of the podcast is something that this is where I kind of alluded to that people think it needs to be done because of other digital voice formats, okay? I'm going to first tell you out here and listen very carefully. I mean, I wish I could, you know, like thunder boom it or something like that on the podcast here. You do not need to register every device to use Wires X. Okay? And we're just going to take that 10,000 foot level. You do not need to register every device to use Wires X. So some other digital modes, in order to do any sort of communication through the their network, right? You have to have either an ID of some sort, or you have to register with the server. No, we're not Big Brother. We're not tracking you or anything like that. The only thing you need to register is if you are using that device as a node, whether it be PDN or whether, the HRI-200, you have to register. But if you're going to just be using, let's say, your FT5 handheld connected to your computer to talk down Wires X, you only need to register that device because it directly is going to touch the Wires X software, the Wires X networks. If you're doing the same thing with a mobile, hey, I'm going to use my FTM-200 as a Wires X node, okay? And I'm going to go ahead, and in that case, I'm going to take this, and that's what's going to be connected to my computer. That's all you need to register. If you are using someone else's node, if you are using a Wires X repeater, if your device isn't directly attached with cables to a computer running Wires X, you do not need to register that device. We had a customer contact us not too long ago, and they said, John, this is ridiculous. Why do I have to have all these devices registered? I said, what do you mean all these devices registered? He's like, God, you know, I just picked up over Black Friday, I just picked up an FTM-500. I picked up an FT5. You know, I already have a 70, and I can't even register 70, and I already have an FTM-200. Why do I have to try to register all these devices? Once again, how do I register the 70 to use Wires X? And we said, well, you can't. This is no, I can use Wire. I could use the 70 and the Wires X, but how do I register? And I was like, no. You only need to register devices that are actually going to be connected and used in PDN mode on Wires X. So once again, have some Wires X repeaters near me. I run some Wires X repeaters, right? I go traveling a lot. I connect to Wires X repeaters. Guess what? My radios doesn't mean a hill of beans if they're registered. I don't need to have them registered. I just pick up the radio, tune it to frequency, and boom, I can start talking on Wires X. The only time you need multiple devices registered. Okay, so remember we said if your device is touching Wires X, then you need to register it. But why? When would I need to register multiple devices, John? You only need to register multiple devices if, and only if, they will be on at the same time. So in other words, I have an HRI-200 sitting off to my right over here that feeds my repeater system. I want to use Wires X to go to, let's say, a different room or something like that. Well, guess what? I'm not going to take my node that's working my repeater, that's feeding my repeater. I'm not going to take that and move that because then that breaks the whole link and everything. So I have that on 24/7, but I want to go on to a different Wires X room and stuff. Then I have to register that second device because I have it on at the same time. And that's then and only then. I told you earlier, I have multiple Wires X devices. Why? Because I have multiple devices turned on at one time. So that's why you would need to register multiple devices. Okay. Furthermore, like the guy was saying here, he's like, how do I register to 70? You can't register the 70. You can't register the FT1 if you still have that. You can't register the end-of-production FTM-3200, 3207, 7250. You cannot register the FT991A because they can't do Wires X PDN functionality, okay? So that's the only time you need to register the node. And like I said, we wanted to stress that because we have people that call in and say all the time, once again, that's conventional thought. That's people's ideas, the opinions, the uninformed education that's being given, saying, oh, you need to register every Wires X device. No, you don't. As a matter of fact, we do not even recommend it. Now, why don't we recommend it? Because then that just creates extra nodes that you're not going to use, that you're not going to need. Now, the second part to that, people will go ahead and they'll say, wait a minute, John, though. What if I want to use my 200 in the house sometimes as the PDN node. But then there's going to be other times I'm going to bring in, like, let's say my FTM500, or I'm bringing my, I want to use my FT5 or 3 or whatever. How do I do that? What if I want to use that instead? Do I got to do a WiresX re-registration or anything? No. As long as that DTMF ID and that DPID of the radio was turned on and registered with WiresX, if you plug in a different radio after that registration has taken place and you're up and running the first time with that properly registered radio, you can swap out different radios. And I do that. I do that. Some of my educational trips and stuff that I do, I'll have the FT2 I'll do, but then someone will say, well, hey, how does this work with the mobile? Boom, I pull the mobile out of my bag, boom, put it in that place on there. That's fine. That's not a problem. But you do have to, initially, when you log into your WiresX software, the first time you come on, if there's been no device registered with it, the software has to see that DPID, it has to see the right DTMF ID, and it sends up validation. Once again, after that validation is done that first time, okay? So if I register my FT5, let's say, for example, real quick, register, get it up and running, boom. Close the lid, and now the next day I'm like, you know what, I'm got my FT5 in my travel bag already, but before I leave, I want to go ahead and use my FT2 or whatever the scenario might be. I plug in that FT2, turn on the WiresX computer software and everything like that. It sees that that DPID and the DTMF are registered already. It's going to allow me to use that FT2 on there. So that's what you need to do, okay? That's what you need to do. So many people think I need to register multiple devices. That is not anything that you need to do in that case. So maybe a drink for the fire hose for some people and stuff like that. I apologize if it is and everything like that. It's not meant to be. We really wanted to go ahead and stress on some of these things. These are some of, you could almost say that this is an FAQ kind of episode on there because people are doing that. We're seeing, you know, obviously when we see radios go on sale and stuff, we see an uptick on there. And then we started to find out people think that they need to register every radio. They don't register every radio. It's not necessary. It's a waste of time for you. And then in addition to it, I'm sure you're going to probably forget the registration on there. Oh, and I guess that's a last closing thought. If you do a WiresX registration, set that account information and username and password on the side. Set that registration. Print out those emails, folks. Save them in a book. Put them in a safe. I don't care, whatever, because the stuff is recoverable if you have certain pieces of equipment on there that goes through the steps. But if you're calling into us and saying, hey, I can't remember my password or anything, reset it. We're going to say, sorry, you can't. You gotta go through the WiresX registration support website on there. We don't have access to those things. That's considered private, you know, information on there. So until then, everybody, I want everybody to take care, say 73. And until that point on there, we're going to go ahead and we're going to catch you on the bands.